Hour two of your Wednesday edition of Justice.
You didn't tell him? Why didn't you tell him?
Brett doesn't know.
Why didn't
you? We've never had... Why is it on me?
It's not on you. But I just realize now... I'm sorry. Did you say we were Justice and Drew and those Twin Cities News?
Hour two, okay, Justice and Drew underway.
Yeah. It's the smartest show you know. We hate this song. I just want to say that up front. So maybe since you're here, while he's here, we can get him to take it out of rotation.
Just delete it.
See how long it takes Miss Rodeo Queen to figure out that it's not there anymore. That sounds like
there's a backstory behind
that. That sounds like a brilliant idea.
I'll explain it to you later.
Later on in the show, we are going to try to find a name for Drew's new bunny.
So you can Cat.
Look. I'm sorry, Cat. I was thinking small. You're right. Your new kitten. My bad. Oh, I'm so excited about that promo too. gosh darn it. We're gonna try to get a name for Drew's new cat, his new kitten. Plus, we'll tell you how you can pay for a parking citation with only peanut butter.
I am on board.
Yeah.
I will start issuing parking citations.
Suddenly our next...
I'm going to become the meter maid of Delano.
Our next guest is going, what happened? I know I've been on before, but I know maybe today wasn't the right day. Good morning, Representative Tom Tiffany. How are you?
Hey, it's good to be here. Yeah, sounds pretty wild. Hey, you know, I'm kind of late to the Sam and the rodeo thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is she going to be in Vegas this weekend?
She's in Vegas.
She is currently in there. Yeah.
Yeah. She's competing in the Miss Rodeo America pageant.
Yep.
She's been Miss Rodeo Minnesota Queen for the past year. So she's competing all week long. And if you go, Representative Tom Tiffany, to the Justice and Drew page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, you can get all the details about what she's doing while she's there. You can find out how you can support her in her efforts, because they have no social media. They are cut off from the rest of the world other than what happens in Las Vegas, apart from being able to receive messages, emails from individuals that want to show their support for her competing in Vegas this week.
Hey, I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend for the pro rodeo.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Perfect. You'll see her.
Well, you should send her a message saying, hey, I'm going to be here. Find me.
Yeah, I would text her, but she had her phone taken away.
So there you go.
What goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, right, guys?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's at least what you can remember.
Yeah, let's not derail the show by going down those paths. President Joe Biden was in Minnesota yesterday on the ground for like 3 hours. He toured the heavy trucking program at Dakota County Technical College before speaking to a small masked audience of about 90 people that included numerous elected officials and representatives of the college. Yeah, there were some photos of him landing at MSP, and Mayor Jacob Frey was there, Melvin Carter was there, and of course Governor Walz was there as well. One of the most accurate statements, though, Representative Tom Tiffany, I thought that Joe Biden made yesterday, talking of his infrastructure law, was when he said, this law is going to do something historic. Yeah, historically bad. Sending more than $6 billion to Minnesota in the form of road, bridge, broadband, and water infrastructure spending. It's going to rebuild the backbone of this nation. But Representative Tom Tiffany, this whole Build Back Better is going to do a heck of a lot more than that.
Yeah, if you like inflation so far, you're really going to like it after all they're doing now. So this reminds me of the story of the young man and woman who had a baby. And somebody came up to the young man and said, did you see the stork when he delivered the baby? And he said, no, I just saw the bill. And that's what Joe Biden delivered to those Dakota County Technical College kids yesterday. He told them, and they may not realize it, here's the bill, you kids, that you're going to be paying for a long time. And don't forget that while they keep pumping out all this money from Washington, D.C., saying this is going to do all this great stuff, is that it's in the meantime a pace continuing to drive the inflation. Everything's going to cost more. So those local municipalities around Twin Cities, they're going to pay a lot more for every mile of road. The amount they paid for a mile of road a year ago is going to be far more 2 and 3 years from now. Inflation is going to eat this up. And Joe Biden was just delivering the bill to those kids at Dakota County yesterday.
Well, and in a, you know, I want to drop back just for just a moment. We have a couple of things that we're going to get into a little bit later on. Part of Build Back Better steers billions of Medicaid dollars to labor unions. I mean, this was something that was actually fought in the Supreme Court going back in 2014, and they found a way to work around this. We're finding out that the infrastructure bill contains a backdoor for kill switches for cars. The point that I'm making here is I wish that there was more emphasis on how big, you know, this $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill actually is, and how it would be near impossible for any single individual to just go through and read everything that's in it. I mean, that in and of itself, that it gets passed and, you know, through the House, given how big it is and how near impossible it would be to cover every little aspect of it. I mean, just start there. It should never have passed the House in the first place, just based off of its sheer size and what it entails.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But this is part of Nancy Pelosi's MO here over the last few years. You know, go back to 2009 when they passed the big health care bill. And she said, well, we got to pass it in order to understand what's in it.
Right.
Same thing's happening here. She does not want her members reading this. She doesn't want to have a full markup. This stuff just comes from the Speaker's office, gets dumped on the floor, and then we vote on it. And she has the votes to muscle it through. And this is the kind of stuff that we're getting. And remember, when they tell you that it's all paid for, it's not. There's about a quarter of this, I estimate $250, $300 billion, that's just pure debt. And that's just going to drive the inflation. And, you know, the free community college, the free daycare, people are going to find out how expensive free is.
Do you, Ernie, when you're hashing this stuff out on the floor, when you're talking to your colleagues, do you get any sense from your Democratic colleagues, specifically in regards to inflation, that they grasp the severity of the problem, that they grasp that this is having a tangible and significant impact on not only just families and their family budget, but small businesses? I mean, across the board, everything is costing more and more and more, and there's no end in sight. And it seems like, you know, you just get a bunch of happy talk when Democrats are out there in front of the media. You know, they try to portray it as it's actually a good thing. It's a sign of a recovery economy and all that other BS that they like to spew out there. But, you know, I'm just curious, when you have these conversations in the House with your colleagues, do you think there's any sense of how bad it is and how severely it is impacting American families and businesses?
No, they want to transform America. They said it from the very start. And when you have the budget chairman who says, and he said this 2 months ago, he said, we can spend as much money as we want because we can print the amount of money that's necessary. Think about it. He said, we can spend as much as we want because we can just print all we want.
Absolutely.
That tells you everything you need to know. When the budget chairman, I mean, these are supposed to be smart people that know how to budget, understand numbers and all the rest. They have no clue.
I'm trying to think of what the, I know that, you know, his visiting, you know, yesterday, and the brisk visit, which saw the president spend just 3 hours on the ground, was to Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District, likely the nation's most competitive districts headed into the 2020 midterm elections, right? Biden noted how U.S. Representative Angie Craig, who has held the seat since 2019, was a supporter of the newly signed legislation. I did find it rather interesting, though, because while there was coverage of the president's visit yesterday, it was very short. It was only 3 hours. And we know that at the moment, you know, the president is actually a weight on these candidates. You know, the American public feels the pain, regardless of your political party. Everybody feels the pain when they go to the grocery store, when they go to pump gas. You know, they're trying to slam this agenda through so they can use it against Republicans were we to go and take back all of Congress next year. I just found it, again, interesting that it was 3 hours on the ground. You know, I look at that from my perspective, Representative Tom Tiffany, and I just say, yeah, well, you know what? That won't do too much damage. That's just enough to say the president visited. For him to be here 3 hours to pay, you know, to pay a visit, and then he's gone, you know, and that shouldn't dog, you know, Angie Craig too much. Representative Tom Tiffany?
Did we lose Tom? I think we lost him.
Oh.
All right. We'll put him on hold, Brett, if he can do a little research. Maybe he'll buzz us back here in a moment.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that it was such a short visit, but I really do honestly believe that's the reason why. I just think that, you know, he's making the rounds, mm-hmm. right? Shaking hands, mm-hmm. keeping the elected officials happy. But be that as it may, it's got to be a short visit because he's not popular.
He's not popular. He's not well.
Honestly. And there's that too. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he's not, the more he's out in public, the more people see that he's not well, you know, but, it's interesting that, you know, this is one of the very early stops on this tour and specifically in Angie Craig's district. I mean, it shows you how nervous they are about retaining some of these seats. Yeah. I mean, this is what you need to watch as the president starts to make these trips and do these rounds touting this bill and trying to make you believe that it's popular. You know, they're going to specific places and they're going to those places because they're very concerned about holding on to those seats. So for him to come to Minnesota, you know, a very, very blue state, very Democrat state, and to be nervous about Angie Craig's district, I think is very telling.
From the National Review, there's simply no excuse for allowing unions to rig Medicaid for their own enrichment at the expense of caregivers, Medicaid beneficiaries, and taxpayers alike. Amid the fast-paced congressional talks over Biden's Build Back Better Act, the legislation's massive expansion of federal Medicaid funding for in-home care has thus far received little scrutiny. Unfortunately, the legislation is cynically engineered to steer potentially billions of Medicaid dollars to labor unions, forcing hundreds of thousands of home care aides into supporting far less political advocacy and saddling taxpayers with wasteful programs. And again, this is another one of those primary, another great example of the monstrosity of this bill and how much nefarious intent is buried within the thousands upon thousands of words.
We got Representative Tom Tiffany back on the line, I think.
Yeah.
There you are.
Craig. You know, back to your question in regards to Angie Craig, this was in part about Angie Craig because these suburban Democrats are going to be in huge trouble 11 months from now. They've got a really big problem. But then, how much do you want Joe Biden in your backyard?
Right. And I think, right. I think was, none.
Yeah.
Zero.
He inspires nothing. You know, you're 100%. You're 100% correct. Not at all.
I don't need him sniffing my wife's hair. Are you, you know, we were talking about how, you know, they're targeting districts. They're very concerned about holding on seat to the House. I mean, you want to put on your prognosticator's hat, you know, as you start to look forward, we are, you know, going to be in silly season soon enough with the midterms, coming up next November. What do you think it looks like? How are you feeling about the Republicans' chances to make some gains in the House and the Senate?
The way it sits right now. So I came in our state legislature in 2010. I saw the 2010 wave. I think it's going to be bigger than the 2010 wave. And suburban districts like Angie Craig's, Democrats are going to get wiped out. And all you have to see is Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I mean, go back and study, not just Virginia, but New Jersey from a month ago. Huge swings, 10 to 15 points. When you have someone who is in a district that's 5 to 10 percentage points, that they've been winning their district by that amount, you are in deep trouble at this point. The American people have figured it out. And how do you reverse course at this point? I think that's the whole thing with the Biden administration. I think they're just saying at this point, we're going to lose all kinds of seats, but we think that Republicans cannot overturn this stuff, that it will be in, it'll be cemented in place in 4 and 5 years from now. They're not going to be able to do a thing about it, and we'll go back and get the majorities again. It's really very cynical at this point, and it is truly the Transform America agenda that President Biden started, or excuse me, Obama started in 2009, and they want to complete the deal. And remember, President Trump stopped this in 2016. Hillary Clinton, they're just 4 years late to accomplishing what they wanted to do. Hillary Clinton was going to do this in 2016.
Yeah.
A guy named Donald Trump disrupted that. They do not want to see this happen again. They know they've got one shot. They're just going to keep doing it. They don't care about the Angie Craigs of the world. They are just collateral damage. Nancy Pelosi doesn't care.
Representative Tom Tiffany, great stuff, man. Always enjoy chatting with you, and thanks for coming on this morning.
Yeah, great to be with you guys. Hey, hopefully I'll see Sam at the rodeo.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I'll shoot her a note. Let her know you're heading that direction.
Have a good time.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
In 2014, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Harris versus Quinn that Justice and Drew, we're very familiar with Harris versus Quinn. I
cite it daily.
Yeah, it's just maybe not daily for me, but
my wife hates it
once or twice a month.
I'm always like over the dinner tables. Yeah. You know what else I learned about Harris versus Quinn?
Yeah,
she hates that.
Experts on Supreme Court rulings, but for those that aren't as smart as we are, in 2014, in Harris versus Quinn, we learned that the First Amendment protects quasi-public employees, such as Medicaid caregivers, contracting directly with the state from being required to pay union dues. So ever since, unions have sought to circumvent the ruling at every turn. In 2018, Washington state lawmakers adopted union-backed legislation to privatize the home care workforce, transforming caregivers from quasi-public employees to employees of a private company who, in Washington and 22 other states, lacking right to work protections, could be forced to pay union fees. Now, caregivers spoke out strongly against the legislation, but unfortunately, it didn't matter. As one mom fighting SEIU to preserve her rights put it, they're so huge, they're so big, how are we going to go up against a giant like that?
And yeah, and SEIU's response to that was like, you don't, we steamroll you.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's nice to be this big.
Hundreds of thousands of caregivers may find themselves asking the same question if the Build Back Better Act becomes law. Following Washington's ignoble example, the legislation conditions an increase in Medicaid funds on states adopting an agency with choice model for their home and community-based service programs, precisely the arrangement put in place by Washington lawmakers to circumvent the Harris versus Quinn ruling. Though legally permissible, the Department of Health and Human Services under both Obama and Trump's administrations promoted different arrangements that by avoiding the middleman employer between the clients and the caregivers, offer clients greater flexibility and empowerment. That appears to matter little to the individuals who support the Build Back Better Act.
Yep. Yep. Now, this is a gift to the unions. And that's what happens every time Democrats get elected. You know, unions funnel their members' dues to Democrat campaigns, try to get Democrats elected. And once elected, once they have the power to, they immediately start writing legislation, making it even harder to avoid union dues, making it even easier for unions like a consuming blob rolling down the street to just suck up independent employees left and right.
Yeah, but that blob should never have been in the middle of the street in the first place.
That's right. Yeah,
you know, that's all the blob. That's all the blob's fault. Right.
Maybe if these independent caregivers just start calling themselves protesters, they'll actually get a little respect.
Yeah, seriously.
From Democrat lawmakers. But in the meantime, don't expect any.
From a Daily Caller, buried deep within the massive infrastructure legislation is a little notice safety measure that would take effect in 5 years. It's a kill switch for cars. We have the details for you. They suck, but we're going to give them to you next on Justice and Drew.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. Open phone lines through the remainder of the morning. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. You can also email us, jd@twincitiesnewstalk.com.
Buried deep within the massive infrastructure legislation, Build Back Better is a safety measure that will take effect in 5 years, marketed to Congress as a benign tool to help prevent drunk driving. The measure would mandate that automobile manufacturers build into every car what amounts to a vehicle kill switch. As has become standard for legislative mandates passed by Congress, this measure is disturbingly short on details. What we do know, says the Daily Caller, is that the safety device, doing that thing with my fingers, must passively monitor the performance of a driver of a motor vehicle to accurately identify whether that driver may be impaired.
Yeah, we had this, I believe, in one of Sam's top fives a few weeks ago. Maybe it was outside of that. I don't quite remember. But the passive monitoring is a huge red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability of an algorithm of some sort, because that's what this is going to boil down to. It's going to boil down to some coding and some programming to be able to accurately identify whether a driver is impaired is a huge red flag.
Yeah.
because there's a million things that could happen while you're driving, you know, in the course of driving a vehicle, and in you know, completely safe things, but that might mimic the behavior or mimic an action of somebody who was impaired, but you're not, and the thing, whatever thing you're doing, is completely safe. How are we supposed to trust just a device with some coding and some algorithms to be able to accurately identify if perhaps I was making a defensive maneuver with my vehicle? Mm-hmm.
One of the other problems with this, as adding to what Drew had mentioned, is it would be an open system, or at least one with a back door, meaning authorized or unauthorized third parties could remotely access the system's data anytime. It's a privacy disaster in the making, and the fact that provision made it through Congress reveals yet again how little its members care about the privacy of their constituents. There's also serious legal issues with the mandate. Other vehicle-related enforcement methods used by the nanny state, such as traffic cameras, license plate readers, have long presented constitutional problems, notably the Fifth Amendment's right to not self-incriminate and the Sixth Amendment's right to face one's accuser. Ironically, or perhaps intentionally, there is no detail in the legislation about who would have access to the data collected and stored by the system either.
Yeah, that's intentional. That's not ironic. That's intentional.
They wrap up in the Daily Caller with this piece saying, adding what amounts to a mandatory backdoor government kill switch to cars is not only a violation of our constitutional rights, but an affront to what is or used to be an essential element of our national character. And I totally 100% agree. And again, it is so nuanced. It is so vague that they can go and, I mean, they could spin off of this in a number of different ways. That's what I hate about it, is the lack of specificity just kicks that door open. Well, let's not call it a kill switch. What if we just monitor the cars, and then we can send a letter if we feel like the individuals, but you know, it opens the door for a lot of different, again, all the things that are laid out here, the privacy concerns, the, you know, how the unconstitutionality of it, making up words, right? It just,
not to get too tinfoil hatty, you know, but when I read this article, I mean, one of the first things I thought of was how long and how hard they've been trying to get us out of our single occupancy vehicles.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is a legitimate and sincere platform for a segment of the left out there. They really don't think we should be driving around in these wasteful, you know, single occupancy vehicles, consuming gasoline and oil and emitting toxins into the air. It's just wasteful. We could carpool. We could use public transit. There's all sorts of alternatives than the evil single occupancy vehicle. And I feel like this was put in there by people with that agenda and that goal in mind. I mean, the idea of having a device in your vehicle that could simply shut it off and pull you over anywhere at any time. I mean, say you're driving home at 3 a.m, right? And, you know, you've had a long day and you're a little sleepy and you're just you're close to home, right? But you're sleepy and you veer a little bit. And the algorithm kicks off, decides, oh, this person's veering, you're impaired. I'm just going to pull you over right here. The device doesn't know if you're in a safe neighborhood. That device doesn't know if you're in a safe spot. All that device knows is that you veered a little bit. Now it's going to shut down your car. Good luck.
Hey, boss, I'm going to be late to work. I spilled my fries and my car shut off because it just pulled me over. Yeah. Now I've got a mess and I can't drive.
Well, so. think about, I'll give another practical, just a sort of example on this. If you live in a rural area. Right, and actually, this recently when I went out to visit my mom in Arizona, my aunt lives there, and she lives in a rural part out in the desert. But all the roads to her home are all dirt. I mean, they're just all dirt roads. So you got to navigate around the all the crevices and the potholes and all that kind of stuff. You know what is the system going to do then? But again, I don't even want to get to that point. To having to get into the nuances of all that, because they're too clever. They'll find a way to dance around your example, and they'll find a way to dance around my example, right? It needs to be stopped before it even reaches that. I got a good idea
about, you know, if the idea is really to decrease drunk driving and get drunk drivers off the street and be able to identify them quickly and make the road safer. How about more cops?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
How about more police officers out on the roads monitoring traffic, yeah, looking for drivers that are exhibiting symptoms of being impaired? Because you know what a cop can do that a device can't? Use discretion and be able to talk to somebody and identify, oh, you're not impaired. Okay. You know, you just happened to mimic behavior that would indicate an impaired driver, which millions of drivers do every single day that aren't impaired.
And I don't disagree with your take that there are those on the left that just want to get us out of our automobiles. I do believe that there are those out there. But I also believe that there's a large portion on the left that buys into this stuff because it also just comes back to control. They just want to be able to control your life. They feel like they know better than you do. They feel like that they have more to stand and gain from the organizations that support stuff like this, right? And it goes back to elections again. If we can continue to get the support of these organizations, they'll align with us and they'll vote us more into office. And we can and the more that they can justify too, and that's the other key part of this, right? Because they take an approach like this with this kill switch, they get a lot of people on board, and suddenly now, what have you done? You've justified more government control. And by doing so, you've given them more power to push other garbage like this. It emboldens them, like the criminals. When we don't go and prosecute criminals, when we bring them in to try to hold them accountable, and there's no bail because all you did was steal a car or less than $35,000 worth of items, and we're not going to lock you up or set a bail, and they put you back on the street, all it does is go and embolden you to go and do that criminal behavior again. And when it comes to garbage like this, they get this sort of mandatory kill switch monitoring of vehicles, and it emboldens the left to go and find other ways that they can go and intrude into your life.
651-989-5855. Got several people chiming in on this, calling in. I want to talk about these kill switches and car monitoring systems. Kelly, Pete, everybody else that's on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to your calls right after this.
FM.
Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Wednesday edition of Justice Andrew, the smartest show you've ever heard.
We are the intelligentsia.
Except for people who listen to The Common Man. Like, they've heard a smarter show.
Oh, okay.
Those people.
Okay. All right.
Or The Power Trip. Huh. Or any other show.
Those are all iHeart shows, right? Uh-huh. Okay, just making sure I got that.
Sucking up to the boss.
Got that. Got that right. Buried deep within the massive infrastructure legislation monstrosity is a safety measure that would take place in 5 years. Marked to Congress as a benign tool to help prevent drunk driving, the measure would mandate that automobile manufacturers build into every car what amounts to a vehicle kill switch. It's incredibly vague. They say the safety device must passively monitor the performance of a driver of a motor vehicle to accurately identify whether that driver may be impaired. This would be the passively part suggests a system that would be on constantly monitoring the vehicle. The system being connected to the vehicle's operational controls. Right. Secondly, so as to disable the vehicle either before or during driving when impaired is detected. And thirdly, it would be an open system, or at least one with a back door, meaning authorized or unauthorized third parties could remotely access the system's data at any time. Just creates
all huge red flags.
Oh, myriad of problems.
Massive red flags that should frighten everybody who might be considering buying a car, you know, in the next few years. Now, if this does, you know, stay in the bill, it won't take effect until cars that are made in the year 2026. But the time to stop it is now.
Yes.
I mean, the time to get it out of this bill and prevent this from happening is now. Otherwise, you're going to see a lot of people like myself that will simply just stop buying new cars. And you'll see a huge black market for people to take these things out, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there will be a massive black market to disable and remove these devices.
Find a way around it.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. A lot of people want to chime in on this. 651-989-5855. Let's start with Kelly in St. Paul. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Two points. First of all, what you said earlier, more cops, you're absolutely right. No wonder you're the smartest talk show on
Thanks.
The air.
Thanks. We know.
well, yeah, you're smart. Yeah. But the other thing is this is very similar to a law that they were trying to pass back in the mid-70s when we had the energy crisis then, and all of a sudden the national highways went down to 55 miles an hour, there was a proposal to put in the cars a device that if you exceeded 55 going down the highway, your horn would start beeping and your lights would start blinking up and down or on and off to warn people that you're exceeding the speed limit. And, you know, it was ludicrous then.
Yeah.
It's more ludicrous now.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for your call, Kelly. Listener Mike emails in a great point. You know, the first major snowfall in Minnesota, is the device going to be able to detect that you're just dealing with icy roads?
Yeah.
That you're dealing with slippery roads, that you're, you know, you're sliding around and that you don't even know where the lane is on the road at certain times of the year. If you're driving at the right time during a snowfall, you know, the road's just white and everybody's sort of guessing that they're in a lane. Is the device going to be able to figure that out? Or is it just going to start turning off people's cars and pulling them over to the side of 394 every morning?
Well, and again, I don't want to get to that point because I have so little faith and trust in the government. My mind immediately went to, okay, these are all great points. We'll put it in anyways, but, you know, we're going to, we'll really dial back the sensitivity setting. So it's really just the most egregious offenders mm-hmm. in which this would take place. In again, an attempt just to be able to get their government tentacles into your car.
They want your data.
They want your data. The government would be like Meta and Facebook if they could. They want every little piece of possible information they could have about you. They want it at their disposal so they can use it against you to control you.
So they can use it to control you. Exactly. Pete, Vadnais Heights. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi there. 3 points. You've already nailed a couple of them. Where the if you've got a medical condition, how does it tell the difference between a drunk driver and somebody with Parkinson's?
Yeah.
And then say it's already 100% accurate. And you've got somebody on 694, and it shuts down his car in the middle of the lane while you're backed up behind him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What about all the other drivers on the road? That's a good point. Thanks, Pete.
Let's go and talk with Jason in the Iron Range. Good morning, Jason, and welcome to Justice and Drew. What are your thoughts?
Is that me?
Yeah, it's you.
Oh, I'm currently on my way through Atlanta here shortly, and I think, like I told Fake Sam, I think all these new sensors they're putting on these vehicles are just going to cause more accidents than anything. Case in point, about 3-4 years ago, I had a loaded tractor trailer I took through the median there at exit 89 on 53 in Wisconsin, in Eau Claire. And had I had that crash sensor that I have on the front of this truck, I probably would have rolled it.
Really? That's scary.
This sensor that I have in this truck will actually apply the brakes if I get too close to somebody at highway speeds. Like, you know how a tractor trailer's got to, like, back off a little bit and then gain speed to pass somebody on a two-lane?
Mm-hmm.
I've done that a couple times, and it actually sensed that I was a lot closer than what I was to pull out to go around the car, and it applied the brakes, and it totally shut me down.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We dumped your friend.
Yeah, that's right. Because we're the smartest show on the radio. Let's go and talk with Tom in St. Paul. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Justice and Drew. What are your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So you had mentioned the novel concept of having additional law enforcement on the road.
I know. It's a crazy, radical idea that has never been proposed other than here on the smartest show on the planet.
It really is a testament to where we are as a society. But, you know, a couple of things my wife and I have noticed is, A, the uselessness of the hands-free rule. We've also noticed kind of a recent phenomenon, which is we frequently get behind cars where the pot smoke coming from the cabin is so thick you almost get a contact high. And, you know, never mind the fact that we're all aware that since the pandemic, you know, you take your life in your hands with people going 20, 30 miles over the speed limit. And so, to me, man, this is just more evidence of, you know, there's this irony that government's number one task, and in some cases its only charge, is to protect the citizenry. And that's the one thing they refuse to do. And I realize that that's pretty much the theme of your show, and we need to find solutions.
Yeah.
All I've done is continue to point out the problem. So my apologies.
Now we have to, well, you know, the solutions are, you know, we need to make sure. And thanks for the call, Tom. As always, we need to make sure that we elect people in office that aren't going to promote this kind of garbage. Yeah, I mean, and
just get out of our lives, man.
And get out of our lives, man. This kicks
get out
open
of my car.
This kicks open the door. Can you imagine? I mean, you would see if this were to be implemented. Okay, first off, I didn't know that all the alcoholics could afford brand new cars. So that's good to know. Maybe we should just make sure that, you know, I mean, that's the mentality, right? The mentality is all new cars, you know. Okay, well, okay, how many alcoholics out there
yeah, true.
Are going to immediately go and then purchase a new car? Yeah. They'll be the first ones to try to find a way around this or driving their old cars, right? But even if you get this in there, think about this. Well, the algorithm has been tracking you consistently speed. So the chip now decides to put a rev limiter on your car, mm-hmm. forces you, and it takes away horsepower, electronically takes away horsepower, especially if you're talking about, like, electronic vehicles. I mean, we can spend the
or
rest of the...
Or shares that data with your insurance company.
Sure. And, yeah, I mean, we can spend the rest of the show coming up with a list.
Insurance rates are skyrocketing through the roof because this device that you didn't ask for,
right.
that you didn't want in your car, that Congress just decided that they were going to put in everybody's car, is now being used for about 50 other purposes than its original intent, which is to, you know, mitigate and minimize drunk driving, which it's not going to do very
right.
well at all.
And what you just demonstrated is again a perfect example of why they want it so bad. It's not about safety. No, because who do they want on their side? They want insurance companies on their side. Because insurance companies would love to have this technology. They would love to have this data.
They already do, but it's consensual right now.
Right.
You know, there's a value proposition right. there that is made to you, the customer. I mean, I don't currently, but a few years ago, we had these devices in our cars through our insurance company. And it was an agreement that we made. It was completely consensual on our parts. And they gave us a discount on our insurance if we had these things and they monitored our driving. I had no problem with it because it was not, there was no coercion. There was no force. It was a decision and a choice that I made. They made me an offer. That offer had value and I took it. There's a huge difference between that and there's going to be a whole lot of people out there that are going to defend this by that same technology. Look, insurance companies have been offering this for a while now.
Yeah.
You know, millions of people already have these in their vehicles through their insurance companies. So what's the big deal, right? Why is it a big deal? That's the logic that they'll use. And that logic will work on a lot of stupid people, but not on this smart show.
No.
It will not fly here.
It will not pass muster here.
That's right.
Right? It shall right. not pass.
Because there's no value proposition here. There's no offer being made here. This is just mandated and forced. Yeah. You will have this,
really no
whether you want it
show.
Or not. And the big difference is that device that I have for my insurance company doesn't have the ability to shut down my car either.
True story. Yeah.
In case they did, I'd never put it in there.
I think they should, you know, I was thinking more about this, though. I think we can go halfway. Just, like, wives get it on their cars.
I like where you're going.
That's what I'm thinking. You know,
just not women, just wives.
I'm teetering close though, because it seems like they're the worst. They're the worst tailgaters.
Wives?
No, women. I feel like I get tailgated by women more often than I do anybody. I don't know. Are we shocked? I'm like, why?
Well, I still maintain that you probably have a pretty broad definition of what constitutes tailgating.
I do, because it does happen to you. I do not. It hasn't happened as much as it used to, but.
If you can see it in your rearview mirror.
That's not true. No, I've got standards. And I understand the butt of my car is very short, but I still have standards. And I've had people in the car. Do you consider that tailgating? And they would say yes.
Well, yeah, you're driving. Of course they're going to agree with you. Todd in Inver Grove Heights, go ahead.
You're number one.
Todd, you with us?
No, but Vader is.
Todd got swallowed.
All right, it's like the James in Minneapolis. Good morning, James. Welcome to Justice and Drew.
Yeah, good morning. I was just thinking I was going to take this a step further. What if the government found out that there's going to be a huge Trump rally? So right at the same time they announced that there's a national fugitive manhunt for a fugitive of the law. So they shut down all the cars just for 2 days.
just to disrupt the Trump rally?
Yeah.
Yep, just shut them down for 2 days to flatten the search.
There you go. Just 2 days to flatten the search.
Yeah, he does bring up another element, though. You know, they're looking for you've got an Amber Alert.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
We'll shut the car down. We'll just shut the vehicle down. Yeah, this is a bad idea, and just like all of the Build Back Better plan. All right, coming up, we will tell you where you need to live if you feel like paying a parking citation with peanut butter. Also, in some Minnesota counties, criminals don't even have to pay bail for stealing a car. And we're going to try to find a name for Drew's cat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, no. So we got a whole hour. We got a whole hour to get to it.
God, I got a cat yesterday.
You got a cat yesterday, yeah. And you lost it. But it still needs a name.
It probably disappeared somewhere in my house.
It still needs a name. So we'll get into that coming up on Justice and